The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
That'll do it. Houston's going to advance. The Rockets have withstood the pressure of the upstart Jazz. They're going to the second round, winning game 5-7.
I mean, we didn't make as many shots as we wanted to offensively, but these last few games, we hung our hat on defense, and that's what's going to get us to our goal.
I know it's not set yet, but what do you think about the possibility of facing the Warriors in the next round, facing them again?
Yeah,
in the
that's what I want. I want to face them. And
oh man, you're gonna be all over Bleacher Report, man.
No, man. I mean, I think that if you want to be the champion, you gotta be the champion. So
CC said it best, real talk. And in order to get to where you want to get to, you got to go through them. You know, they the reigning champs, been running the West for, what, like 5 years straight now? So, we'll go home, watch the game, see what happens.
And that will do it. And the Clippers hang in. An impressive victory.
All right. Quite a bit happened last night in the NBA. And it's draft night, which means Hoffman has 3 hours to get his mock draft in before it means nothing. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on.
But not from the ESPN 97.5 studios.
And not at all. We are at Twin Peaks on Kirby, where you need to be. As we get you ready for the NFL draft, you want to get in today? Well, we don't take phone calls while we're on location, so no worries about that. But plenty of other things you can do. You can get on Facebook and you can send a message. Just find the Blitz. And our man Aaron will take care of you. You can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it is a Thursday. It's draft day. Everybody's stoked with their mock drafts, especially A.J. Hoffman.
Oh, yes. I've got mine ready to go.
Interesting basketball last night. I kind of hope that...
interesting basketball. When it flood, Rockets win.
When it not flood, Rockets beat Jazz.
Clippers win.
That one was pretty bizarre. That I was flipping between that and the Capitals-Hurricanes game, which another one I was wrong about, by the way. Just
add that to the list.
Yeah, 1-7 in the first round.
That's, hey, I mean,
that's not even below average. That's just suckage.
Well, let's start with the Rockets.
Okay, let's do.
This is what my takeaway from the whole series was, and I get that the Jazz are a good defensive team. They are, but. I mean, the Jazz's game plan was basically to make James Harden go in and basically go up against Gobert. Like, they said, hey, we've got the best middle or best rim protector in the league. We're going to make you go in. I mean, that picture of Ricky Rubio last night, like, basically doggy style mounted up on James Harden defensively. It's just, I mean, that's a perfect example of what they did. They said, you know what, we're not going to let you have the three-point. Like, go inside and do your work there. James wasn't great. James was not good. In fact, James was very mediocre in this series. And I know you'll point to, well, he scored this many points. That doesn't mean he was efficient or effective. But the fact that James played maybe one, maybe two good games in this series, and they still won 4-1.
I kind of think that's a positive.
That's a positive. And obviously the Warriors are going to come at them in a completely different way because the Warriors don't have Rudy Gobert. And, you know, they're going to try to defend James more the old-fashioned way. And, of course, the debate raged on today on my Twitter about the effectiveness of Andre Iguodala against James Harden. And, you know, there's two 2018 NBA championship Rockets truthers out there still who believe that if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, then the Rockets are the champions, and they don't like they believe that the Iguodala injury was insignificant. But Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson are going to be wing defenders. That's what they are. They're on ball defenders, and they're going to defend James Harden. And it's going to be a completely different game plan defensively than what Utah had because they're built completely different. It's going to boil down to if James can hit shots in this one. It's not going to boil down to can James – and contested shots. Can James drive in and get it over a big man? That's not going to be the issue. It's going to be getting around those guys or getting over those guys on the outside. And – I'm talking like the Warriors have already won the series because I essentially, I mean,
yeah.
Does anybody think otherwise? From what I heard, the Rockets are actually going to fly out tomorrow to Oakland.
I heard Joel and Barry talking about that on the way in.
Which is, I mean, that's pretty blatant Clipper disrespect, but I mean, listen, they're sensible people apparently.
Yeah, well, it makes sense.
But it's just going to be, I mean, James will have to play better than he did against the Jazz to beat the Warriors. If the James Harden we just saw shows up in the Warriors series, they don't have a chance to win. But it's going to be James is going to have to. It's going to be a lot different version of James and a James that he's more comfortable being. I would say.
I think what you're going to have to see is a better version of the team that we saw the last three games. They need to be closer to what they were the first two when they played the Jazz. If they're that, they have a shot. If they play like they did last night, they're not beating the Warriors four games. And I think they could win one or two. But, you know, you're right. It's a different matchup. And, you know, Harden's going to have to be at his best. This is what we've been waiting for. So it really doesn't matter what they did last night, what they've done in this series. We knew they were going to beat the Jazz.
I mean, the truth is, it doesn't matter what happened last year.
No.
It doesn't matter what happened in the regular season.
What happens now.
It's what happens now. And, you know, James and let's be honest, Chris Paul's in the same boat. These are guys who, if the history books were written today, they are Hall of Famers, but they will go down as guys who could never get it done when the lights were the brightest and could never get over that hump and become champions.
Guess what? There's been a lot of those in NBA history.
Exactly. And there was a time where LeBron was that.
Yeah. Charles Barkley was that. Karl Malone was that.
Well, those guys stayed that. Yeah. What I'm getting at is there's still time for them to change that narrative. And it's not, you know, I'm sure those guys are aware, but there's also a reason they've built that reputation. Harden in particular, in big moments, Harden has put up some dud games, and he's got to shake that. And you're talking, the biggest thing is to me, that Warriors team, whatever their personnel is, and right now we'll get to them in a minute. I'm not in love with what they've got from a personnel standpoint because they look like a three-man team offensively, I'm talking bench everything. It looks like there's three guys on that team who can make a shot, and they are still a team full of guys who have multiple championship rings. Like, everybody on that team is sitting around with a handful of rings. And the Rockets, particularly their key guys, are a bunch of guys that are known as chokers at this point. So, if for the Rockets to win, they're going to have to overcome that. And they're going to have to beat a team full of guys who are experienced in winning. You know, that's sometimes a tough thing to do.
But the one thing I will say is they have to at least feel relatively confident going into it because they did have success in the regular season. They did have success last year. So they obviously feel like they can compete with that team.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going to do it in the playoffs. But then again, it's not like the Warriors are playing like champs right now.
They're not.
And, you know, I think we'll forget all about the fact that they lost two games to the Clippers in about a month. But, you know, I just think the bottom line is the Rockets are going to have to be better than they were in this series. That's it.
Well,
if they want to compete with this team.
The Rockets need... And obviously, Clint Capella has been—he's been dealing with a handful defensive or on the offensive end. He's been dealing with a defensive handful in Gobert. But you know, the Warriors did a good job stopping him last year by basically moving help off of him at the very last second.
Yeah.
And they did it. They basically neutralized Clint Capela, with the exception of Game 7, the one game that he got off. And he's really the reason they got out to that big lead in Game 7, the lead that they would eventually choke away, because they kind of stopped going to him and became more of what the Rockets are, a James Harden, you know, dominated team. But I think it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see what kind of game plan the Rockets go with, because I don't think that they want to. I don't know if they're capable of not relying 80% on James, and I don't know if against this team relying 80% on James is good enough to get it done. I think they're going to have to find legitimate secondary scoring options. And the reality about Chris Paul right now at this point in his career, Chris Paul is the second best scoring option the Rockets have. That doesn't mean that he's a great scoring option right now. He's in the midst of the worst season of his career, and I mean, it's no surprise he's getting into that age where next year will probably be worst, and yeah, next year will probably be worse than that. That's just the way, you know, time tends to treat us. But he's going to have to play exceptional ball for them to have a chance, I think. And then I think there's guys like Daniel House or Rivers. Somebody is going to have to step up unexpectedly and really kind of be that other guy.
And that could easily happen, but it's going to have to happen. And I think Eric Gordon, too, is another guy that you didn't mention who's going to have to be – you know, effective for them. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. At least it's finally here.
Yeah. It's
technically not. And I know we're disrespecting the Clippers, and I know we're dismissing the Clippers.
I'm a big Clippers disrespect guy.
But I did say yesterday it was a Fred Fowler guarantee that the Rockets were going to win, and I will double down on that the Warriors will win the series.
Although I will say I don't know the exact total of points, but I'm pretty sure it was – in the 70s, points scored last night for the Clippers by former Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were basically, it was Harrell and Williams and Beverly.
Yeah.
Three of the four leading scorers for the Clippers last night. So they went out there and really made a statement. But, you've got Chris Paul now, so you can't have it both ways.
All right, guys, Kentucky Derby right around the corner, and you want to get in on that action? BetUSRacing.com, and that's where I make all my plays. And Churchill opens this weekend, so if you want to get a head start on that, you can. I've been playing Woodbine, which opened last week. Sam Houston's on there. You want Lone Star Park? They're all there. Over 200 racetracks right on your computer or mobile phone. Time to get on the action. And this is the final prep race for the Derby. This is the final prep week for the Derby. So you want to start paying attention to what's going to happen next week. I'll have picks and everything. They offer daily rebates, which is great. You can check that account every day, and you're going to wind up with more money than you started with most times because you get that rebates on your bets. And if you need action between races, you can play blackjack and over 300 casino games at BetUSRacing.com. Sign up today. You can qualify for a $150 bonus. Just go to www.BetUSRacing.com/pony, and you will get a 20% cash bonus. Start betting today. That's BetUSRacing.com/pony for that 20% cash bonus. It's time for you to get in on the action. BetUSRacing.com/pony.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. Come on out. You can watch the draft tonight. And I'm going to jump in with a longtime friend of the show, whiskey brother Rob Mungle, joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, sir. Good to be here.
semi-retired now, basically.
Yeah.
I'm
stepping away from the stand-up game for a bit.
For a bit?
Yeah. Well, I'm retiring.
You got AIDS or something?
Yeah.
That happens to the best of them, doesn't it?
I got to get insurance, man.
Yeah. All the best comedians have some sort of a – I don't know of any comedian that retires. That's an odd choice.
And I should have done it years ago. Because I guess all these clubs and people, hey, want to come back and do one more show? It's like, oh, man, I should have done this
years ago. Yeah, you could have been like the Mariano Rivera tour, right. Like Derek Jeter.
I'm doing it like Cher.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, well, I mean, come on.
That's what I told somebody. I'm basically the comedy equivalent of a Persian rug store that's been going out of business for 10 years in a row.
I mean, you could do it like The Who.
Yeah.
And say, this is my farewell tour, and then – spend a year writing,
right.
And then come back and just do the same comedy again on another farewell. Yeah. Well, I mean, that would work.
Exactly.
What's making you step away? What's going on?
I've got some other projects that I'm working on. I was going to take time away from the road anyway. And so I said, you know what, I'll just have a big party and had a big retirement show a couple weeks ago. And
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. No big deal.
What are you doing? It was a lot of fun. I'm told I had a good time. I don't remember much.
Are you gonna be writing? You gonna be
some stuff? I don't want to jinx, but yes, I'll be doing something. Okay. And I'm doing a lot more. I do anime voices as well, or voices for Japanese anime films.
Really?
And so I'm doing a bunch of conventions too. So that's gonna take up some time.
Wait, like, are you talking like Comic Con? Like, where you're gonna be sitting there signing autographs?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah. I'm the guy at the one booth that nobody knows. I'm a local semi-celebrity in a subgenre of science fiction.
Wow.
That's what I put on my taxes every year.
I mean, you're basically like a guy, I was a stormtrooper in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Well, I do. They're pretty big roles, but just very few people see them. It's anime.
Well,
so it's a very niche market.
Right.
But every time I go to one of these things, I'm shocked that anybody knows me.
What do you got to do to get into that Disney money?
Yeah, right? When I find out, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's a move. Like,
I want to be in Mulan too.
You need to send out your resume. Like, look, I've built a big following doing anime voices.
I did an anime years ago, and it was big deal. It was a CGI thing. It was a big thing. So they brought it over here, translated into English, and I did it. And then the producer said, "Yeah, no, I think we're going to sell this to Sony or somebody, and they're going to get like Bruce Willis or somebody to do your part." So I'm like, well, I thought I did okay, but they got some other name to do it. So.
Oh, Bruce Willis,
I don't know who it was, but it was some name.
Burt Reynolds, but he's dead now.
Yeah, maybe you can get
it
back.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to launch some missiles here, man.
Yeah.
We got to do it, babe. Yeah.
So
it's good to be here on draft day. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I know you and AJ share a love of mock drafts.
Yeah, I've got my mock draft ready to go. You want to hear? Here you go. Going first, I'm taking Warren Moon. If you're going to pick a
safe
quarterback.
Safe pick?
Yeah. You should.
He also wore number one.
Yeah, see? So
I don't think that's a coincidence.
Is there anything more ridiculous and less useful than a mock draft? I haven't found it. The amount of work you have to do to put into a mock draft that instantly becomes irrelevant the instant they start the thing.
This is what I say. If you are getting paid money to do mock drafts.
Yeah, if somebody paid me, I'd do it.
I get it.
Yeah.
If you're doing a mock draft for masturbatory purposes.
Yeah, I have friends that do them.
That,
I'm like, hey, you should check out my... No, I'm not going to check out your mock draft.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah.
I would reconsider your friendship with
that
person.
You're rethinking linebackers for the third round? What are you talking about? You have a kid. Raise a child.
Yeah, that is a really odd way to spend your free time.
Yeah, but people do it. God bless them.
Well,
yeah, that was a big topic on the show yesterday.
It was.
Yeah.
But I want to clarify something. You're retiring from doing stand-up, but you're not retiring from the Whiskey Brothers.
No, it's still a podcast we do twice weekly, and with me and a couple other comics, Slate Ham and some other guys. It's very fun. It's a lot of fun.
How do you do the podcast? Because I'm friends with Slate on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that dude's always gallivanting around. Yeah. I mean, he's... I think he's
in Turkmenistan this week.
He spends more time away from America than in it, for sure.
Yeah, he's got the weirdest routing of any... of any gigs, but yeah, he's we do him. We tape three or four episodes on a given time.
So like when he comes in,
we'll tape three or four episodes, and we usually do them on Mondays and release them over the week.
Now
we have guys in New York doing Whiskey Brothers New York, Dale Cheeseman and a couple other guys.
Now you guys fired John Wessling from the Whiskey Brothers, right?
Well, he sort of went away. He was going to go. He couldn't do it anymore. He had stuff to do. So
you guys were like. Basically beat it, pal.
Yeah. Well, he's still a good friend. I still talk to him.
But he's not allowed on the podcast anymore.
I would put him on. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty easy going.
So how many guys are doing this podcast?
Depends on the week. It's Slade and I, and then we bring in guests every week. So.
Okay. Didn't there used to be a fourth Whiskey Brother?
There was Sam Damaris.
Oh, yeah. What's going
he's
on with him?
He's actually going to be starting Whiskey Brothers LA. So we got WBLA, WBNY, and then the mothership here.
So this is a franchise.
We are trying to. We're going nationwide.
You
baby.
Learned this with the movie business.
That's right.
To expand.
Yeah, yeah, you got to okay. expand your reach and reach all the people around. And what's great about the LA and New York guys? They can bring in New York and LA comics. So
oh yeah.
So it helps out a little.
You mean
bit.
Good comics?
Heyo, heyo.
Like, they can get talented guys on their shows. I mean,
somebody asked me a question like, why are you retiring, Rob? And I decided to retire when I was in Austin, Texas, about 6 months ago on a Tuesday night playing in front of four people.
Oh, that's good.
And I said, why are you retiring, Rob? This right here. Yeah. I'm going to get bed bugs from whatever hotel they stick me in. I'm going
to
go home.
I got $60 to come talk in front of you guys tonight.
Yeah, I could.
That's why I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Why give up all this magic? All this showbiz? I'm going to be in Lubbock for $50.
I mean, it's everything that Dane Cook and those guys have gone through.
Sure.
I mean, Dave Chappelle, he's the same way. Sometimes he plays in front of four people.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah, he can play four people in a bathroom. That guy can draw.
Rob Mungle, our guest, Whiskey Brothers. Check out the podcast. Very funny guy. And we've had... we've had him and Slade, and last time Sam was in town, so we had everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was fun. But
you can find it at PraiseWhiskey.com.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're on Twitter, so check them out.
We're on Twitter.
And we're also going to be we're working on some projects together with Gal Media that Rob and I are going to do.
Yeah, hopefully it's good. We got some interesting ideas that I think it could be fun.
Yeah, that I think the people will like. But appreciate you coming in, and you've now got a little over 2.5 hours to get your mock draft done.
I know.
And get it out to your friends.
Right.
And find out what they think.
I watched that the other day. Somebody had one. Some buddy of mine, he posted it. And I was like, I don't even know who these people are. You had to dig up these names. I don't know these names. And I watch college football. I've never heard of these people. But God bless them. Knock yourself out, pal.
All right.
Can I tell you a quick story about anime?
Sure.
This is my favorite anime story. I was doing an anime called, La Familia Arcana. All right. Okay. It's Italian gangsters in space, then they're also Asian for whatever reason, right? And the name of the film is La Familia Arcana.
I like it.
The Arcana family. It's Italian, right? So I get in there, and the guy says, okay, do your first line. And I go, all right, here's the line. I am so proud to be a member of La Familia Arcana. And he just goes, oh, hold on a minute. Wait, could you do that again? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you another read. He goes, I am so proud to be a member of La Familia Arcana. So, yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. And he goes... He puts his head over his hand, and he goes, oh, no. Listen, you're the last one to come in and record, and everybody else has been pronouncing that word famiglia. So we're going to need for you to use the word famiglia. I was like, but that's not the word. It's pronounced la familia. It's Italian. They go, yeah, we'll just say it's anime. Nobody knows what it does. So we do the whole thing, and I go back, all right, fine. I am so proud to be a member of La Famiglia Arcana. I tell that story at an anime convention one time. There's a kid in the back. He stands up and goes, I knew it! I knew it! You guys messed up my word. I'm like, yeah, you got us.
Oh,
the magic of showbiz.
And you know that there's going to be some kid out there who notices that and can't wait to tell you.
And get on the internet. There was once an internet site. Some guy in Norway who was devoted to all my bad accents. Said, if you hear Rob Mungle on an anime and he does an accent, you should take a shot because it's going to be awful. And he just had little clips of all my bad accents, my bad Russian, my bad everything. Yeah.
Was he accurate? Were they all bad?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I made a career on doing anime because I do bad impressions. They're bad impressions, and so as an impressionist, I'm horrible.
But it makes for good anime?
But it makes for good anime. So, like, I do a really bad Michael Caine, and it's like, no, Mr. Wayne, I won't watch you die. I won't be there for that. It's a bad Michael Caine.
That is pretty bad.
But it's a great English accent for an anime.
Okay.
So they say, can you do an English accent? I say, well, I can do a bad Michael Caine. And they're like, okay, try it. I'm like, we have to launch the missiles now, Mr. Wayne. We've got to launch them now.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and that's perfect. That'll be $100.
It's like a verbal caricature.
No wonder you're retiring. You get $100 for that? No wonder you're retiring from comedy.
Yeah, right? Getting some of that sweet voiceover money.
All right, that's Rob Mungle, and make sure you check out the Whiskey Brothers. And for those of you who...
it's not safe for work, but, you know...
Maybe you wanted to work in anime. Maybe you wanted to work in comedy, and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
AJ's going to be able to tell you what you should do.
Listen, it's too late for Rob. He's past... I mean, He's an old man at this point.
I know, right?
If he were to go to My Computer Career, they'd probably just they'd deny his application. That's they don't do that there.
Yeah, they still have those.
They're still
Atari. Atari.
They're still waiting on his SAT scores.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to start an IT career, My Computer Career is the only place to do it. The only school focused only on getting people into IT careers for over a decade. Training to start an IT career is all they do. It's all they've ever done nationwide. And you can start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero experience, because helping people start from scratch, that's what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get all the skills, all the certifications you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
That?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. And you can come out and watch the official watch party, partnered with the NFLPA Houston chapter of NFL alumni. Todd Scott, Garrett Jones, Santana Dotson, Ben Cavill, Cedric Clark. All going to be out here. So come on out. Chance to meet some former NFL players. So where do we go now, sir?
Well, I posted a poll to my Twitters last night. And I was curious your thoughts on it. I asked if you had to take one of these four guys to build a team around to win you a championship.
Right.
Not an MVP trophy, not a scoring title, not a triple-double championship, like an actual NBA title.
Okay.
James Harden, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
What order do you put them in?
I think the order the people voted is exactly right.
What about you, Dell? Is your mic on? Can we turn it on? We have the power.
We have Dell here with us today.
Yeah, Dell. Dell Vincito, as they call him.
One person calls me that.
No, there are at least two.
It happens on a Thursday, every Thursday, at the same time, because the same guy calls in. But that's not my name.
What? Okay.
Well, no one calls me that.
Okay. I actually thought that was catching on.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Thankfully.
James Harden, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving, Russ Westbrook. How would you order the chances of which one of those guys, if they're the best player on your team, is most likely to win a championship?
I have not seen outright failure from Dame Lillard. I don't think Kyrie's good enough as a lead dog. I know it's recency bias a little bit, but I'm taking Dame. I know the sweeps in the last couple of years, but his ability to make shots at any point, I would take him as your best player before I take James. James, I would take him, except I've seen too much failure to get over it. He can prove me wrong, but until that day happens, I don't like his issues when it matters most.
I put Russell Westbrook in that discussion because
the people didn't.
I put him in there because he won an MVP award a couple years ago, which means recently he's been considered the best player in the NBA, or at least close to the best player in the NBA. He got 3% of the vote, which is, I mean, if that's about what I would, if I were ranked, I don't know if I'd give him 3. I mean, I would probably take 0 shares of Russell Westbrook and pile all my shares into the other 3 guys.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain that a team that has Russell Westbrook as its best player is never going to win a championship. I've said the same thing about James Harden. I will say that this looks like maybe his best chance, because the team to beat looks more beatable than ever. Kyrie is interesting to me because he's the youngest of them.
Right.
He's 27. I think Kyrie's 27, Dame's 28, James is 29, and Russ is 30. So he's the youngest, and he's the only one that you would even consider an above average defender of those four guys. The other three guys they're bad defenders. So my instinct, and he's also won before, albeit he won with LeBron James. I don't know if he had been there last year, had he not got hurt, he was in street clothes for the Eastern Conference Finals. He's probably been the best player on a team that goes to the finals, because I think had he been on the floor last year, they probably beat the Cavs. I can't say for sure, but that'd be my guess. I think it's still got to be between James and Dame, though, because and if it's who's more likable, it's not even close. To me, Damian Lillard's the only guy on this list that is remotely likable. But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking which guy gives you the best chance to win. And I think at this point still, James is the best player. But I think there is something to Damian Lillard comes off to me as a guy that other players want to play with and play for. Like, he's a guy that, you know, people are excited to be his teammate. I don't know that Russell Westbrook is. Everybody who plays with Russell Westbrook says they love playing with him, and then they leave. And I imagine Paul George is going to do the same thing. Paul George does the right thing. He says nice stuff. Oh, yeah, Russ is a great guy. I love playing with him.
He just re-upped long-term last year, though.
That's true. So. But, well, and that's the other thing is, on this Thunder team, Russell Westbrook's not the best player on that team. So it's sort of a trick question with him, because Paul George is a better player now than Russell Westbrook. Paul George isn't averaging a triple-double, but my guess is if you ask around every GM in the league, which guy would you rather have? It's Paul George. And I didn't put Steph Curry in the conversation, because Steph Curry's already proven that you can win a championship with Steph Curry as your best player.
Right.
Someone asked me why I didn't put Giannis in that conversation. These are four guys who are ball dominant guards. It's more of an apples to apples thing than comparing, like saying, okay, let's throw Giannis and Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid in this conversation. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I thought those four guys were safe comps, because they're all, I don't want to say they're all similar players. They have different styles. Well, most of them have different styles, but at the end of the day, they're ball dominant guards that happen to be, you know.
Yeah, I would take Harden first, Lillard second, mainly because I struggle to say his damn name so much.
Damian?
No, Lillard.
Lillard?
I always have problems with words with too many L's in them, or R's.
Little known fact, his brother is Matthew Lillard, who was in the movie Scream. Did you know that?
I didn't know that because it sounds made up.
Okay, well, you can check IMDb.
It's so little known because it's a lie.
Do you think, did you look at IMDb?
I've seen Matthew Lillard, and he's no Dame. He's not Dame's brother.
Well, they've got to be related somewhere down the line.
Why? Because, Lillard's not that common of a last
name.
I'll give you that.
When you say if there was a guy named Olele, you would be like, oh, I might be related to
that. No, Olele's like Smith.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. What if you found a white guy with the last name Olele?
I would think
at some point one of your ancestors gave it to a white woman, and
or some white guy. Well, we know the history of this country and how people get their last names. I would go Oppo and say some white guy did it in a way he shouldn't have, and now there's an Olele lineage.
But typically, white guys don't take it.
No, they
and then give their son that last name.
I know, but way back when they were doing things that they, you know, when they treated people like, you know,
like property, yeah,
those kids were taking on the names of, let's just say, the owner.
Okay, but then they wouldn't be named Olele, though.
It would be an unlikely thing for some guy born in Virginia, raised in Virginia, grew up in Virginia in the 1700s to be named Olele, yes.
But it's still, you could make the argument that Matthew Lillard and Damian Lillard are in fact brothers.
No, I can't. I can't make that argument. No.
In a black family, is it never a thing for one brother to be dark skin and one to be very light skin?
Well, not if they have the same mom and dad, but
so
sure.
So they could be potentially half-brothers.
But it's not just light. We wouldn't call Matthew Lillard light-skinned. He doesn't get that tag. He gets that's a white boy tag. That's what he gets.
You think so?
Yes. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Have you seen Scooby-Doo?
I've seen the movies.
Have you seen Scooby-Doo 1 and 2?
I haven't seen Scooby-Doo 2.
Okay.
So I can't speak to that.
He could have changed.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I just thought he was a really light-skinned dude. Either way, the point remains. I think you can make an argument for any of the top three guys. But I think right now you have to take – and the recency bias says Damian Lillard, and that's what everyone was saying. Like, what everyone was saying, he's only in the conversation because of recency bias. That's not a fact. If you've watched NBA basketball this year besides the Rockets, if you've watched some Blazers games – this dude is the truth. This is not like he's having a hot playoff run. He should be in the conversation for first team all NBA. So I don't know that he's going to get it over Steph, but he should be in that conversation. So it's not just recency bias. The guy is turning into a phenomenal player. He's one of my I've told you for years, he's one of my favorite players in the league. But I think until It's almost unfair because until he gets further than James does, you kind of have to take Harden. Even though I've already said a team with Harden as their best player can't win, but it's not like Damian Lillard's shown me that a team with him as their best player is any better.
Right.
And that dude had help at one point. He played with LaMarcus Aldridge, and they didn't get a lot further.
No, they did beat the Rockets. If you remember, it was a three-pointer that was...
I remember
kind of,
that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys. Know what feels great? Paying off those high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. And how about this? If you've got good credit, you can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. And I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards. That's probably around 18, 20%. It's a little higher than 6.14. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. There's no fees. Can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And if you want to save even more, Blitzers can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. lightstream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Black hats, two guitars, two icons, country music stars Clint Black and Trace Adkins, and special guests are coming to Houston this summer at Smart Financial Center. Pre-sale tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Get your tickets at livenation.com. Also, guys, get on SportsMap today. You know who put his mock draft on there? The legendary Lance Zierlein. I bet you'd look at that mock draft.
That one I'll look at.
So Lance's final mock is on there because they didn't want one from him from NFL Network.
And he had already done all the work.
Yeah, so we're fortunate enough to have it. We also have his Texans draft primer, so he's got potential targets for them. And we also have Cody's Texans 7-round mock draft. It just basically, this would be the best result for the Texans. So it's not a mock draft, technically. It's these are the 7 picks that I would love it if the Texans were able to get in these spots. So that plus a bunch of other good stuff. For the three who care, I looked ahead to the next round of hockey. Which I will.
If it's anything like your last round's predictions, we don't even want to hear it.
Well.
Wasting everyone's time with that.
I did pick the Dallas Stars to beat the Blues.
Okay.
That's my one thing I'll give you.
I think if I'm and mind you, I'm not watching any more hockey.
Yeah, oh, hockey season's over for me.
But
it's done.
If I had to pick a team that I hope wins now, I think I pick Dallas.
Yeah, I'm kind of at, well, I kind of hope San Jose wins now because
oh, you have a ticket. On
I have an 18-1 on them.
Yeah, I guess I'll cheer for that.
But
for you.
I'm not that. I mean, basically, even if they win,
you're still in the hole for
the playoffs. Absolutely. Yeah, my ass is kicked unless I can go on a tear here, which I'm reluctant to even try right now because I clearly have no clue what's going on in these.
So hockey's not over for you.
Yeah, I say it's over. I'm still smarting over the Leafs and then the Golden Knights.
But so now you're going to play on tilt.
No, once it gets into the next round, I'll start.
Okay.
Because actually, now that my rooting interest,
you're
going to
take
there,
a round off.
No, I'll probably take a couple games off.
Oh, okay.
All right. So never mind. I'm not.
Yeah,
it's not done.
It's not over for you.
So 3780 ESPN. If you want to text the show, we're out here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Come on out. Yeah. No matter what happens the rest of the day on Sports Map, today's the most page views we've had since the Astros won the World Series.
Wow. Congratulations.
And it's only 452. And last night we did a record, and we've already beat that by 20,000. So that site is absolutely blowing up.
Fred, you've become very famous.
I have, apparently.
I must say.
Yeah. But, so check it out. There's some great stuff on there. And I'll have my Thrones recap. And for those of you who are going to see Endgame, there's a completely spoiler-free review on there. And I'm really looking forward to when everybody's seen it so we can actually talk about it.
I'll watch it this weekend. Aaron is not going to watch it.
So we don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
But yeah, it's one of those things what I'm worried about is that it's going to be so long removed since I saw it that I'm going to forget all the good parts.
Are you not going to watch it a second time?
I am, but I'm not doing it this weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it maybe two or three more times when it's all said and done.
In the theaters?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, not me.
I liked it that much.
I'm a one-time in the theater man, max.
Usually that's the case. There's been a few times where I've made exceptions. This might be one of them.
I think the only movie that I've ever seen in the theater twice. Now, two movies I've seen in the theater twice. One was Home Alone because I was a stupid kid and I thought it was funny, and I went and watched Home Alone again. The other one is Titanic, and that was purely because I was trying to have sex with two different girls. So, to me, unless you're a kid or you're trying, well, I guess I was kind of a kid with Titanic. I was 17. Unless you're a kid or you're trying to have sex with two different girls, you should only watch a movie in theaters once and then wait for it to come out and watch it
Let me get my notebook out and put that in there. Yeah, okay. Joe says, going to see Endgame tonight at 8. Couldn't bring myself to read the article, though. I'm weird with spoilers. That's about the fourth person to tell me that. And I have to assure you there is nothing that's going to spoil the movie for you.
Thanos dies.
No, there's nothing like that in there. Nothing. There's no plot stuff. It's just basically...
Spoiler alert, Thanos died. I forgot to say spoiler alert first. That can be constituted as rude. Spoiler alert, Thanos dies.
And how do you know? You haven't seen it.
I don't. That's my guess.
Okay, that's a guess. Then it's not a spoiler. But no, there's not...
I read it on the internet in an article that said spoilers inside. That's why I said spoiler alert, Thanos
After
dies.
You said it, though.
No, but I already told you that was a mistake on my part.
But you don't know what happens. Stop it. Just stop it.
No, I have no idea what happens.
So
I'm just trying to charge people. I do have a plan, though. When I walk out of the theater, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, can you believe that Spider-Man got his head chopped off? And I mean, just say crazy things as I'm leaving to the people who are walking into the theater and just say it in passing. Or even better, have my 11-year-old say it really loudly, because he's a kid. Who can yell at a kid about it? But just go like, I can't believe Captain America really died, Dad. And just have people all charged up. I mean, that would be kind of funny, right?
No.
What if I videoed the interaction?
I'm going to tell you a story. We were at Big City Wings, and Sam was telling us the story about when he went to see the Star Wars movie.
Okay.
And Dude, as they were walking
do
out.
Do not spoil Star Wars for me.
You all know, spoiler alert, what happened in the Star Wars movie.
Darth Vader is Luke's dad.
No. The newer one.
Oh.
Where somebody walks out of the theater, and if you haven't seen this movie, that's 5 years ago now, and screams, Han Solo died! Does that not ruin it for people?
That's pretty lame.
Yeah, that is lame. And what you're doing is not as lame.
But what I would do
but
is...
But you're related to lame.
Whatever spoiler I would put out... Ooh, now it's going to be tough. Because I would say whatever spoiler I put out on my way out of the theater would be fake news. But now, if people know it's going to be fake news, maybe I should give a real spoiler... And people will go, oh, that's just fake. And then when it really happens, you're like, oh, man.
Maybe you just shouldn't ruin the movie experience for somebody else. Because then they're going to be sitting there thinking the whole time, does this person die? Do they not die?
Yeah, but how am I going to
get these? Instead of just sitting back and enjoying a great film.
How am I going to get these likes on my Instagram page called AJ Doing Stuff?
Nudes.
What you have to do is go so beyond what could actually happen that people are like, did he just say that? Like, Thanos reference a three-fifths compromise. What? When talking to Black Panther.
Can you believe that Thanos had sex with the Scarlet Witch? I mean, I can't. I never saw that coming.
Could you believe Thanos is the Night King?
Yeah. Can you believe that Thanos sat on the throne at the end of that? I mean, just unbelievable.
All right. Well, guess what? I have to tell you about Lawyer Dave, but I don't have to tell you about Lawyer Dave because he's sitting right here, out here with us at Twin Peaks. And Dave represents all the Blitzers who have been hurt in all kinds of accidents. Doesn't matter what type. You're the man.
Thanks, Fred. Hey, Blitzers, it's Lawyer Dave, your family lawyer. David Mestemaker, Houston-based personal injury lawyer. If you have some kind of an accident, any kind of an accident, anywhere, give me a holler at 713-626-8900 and I'll do my best to take care of you.
And you don't charge for consultation, so if somebody has a legal question, like, I don't know, shooting a gun off somewhere and getting sued over it, you could tell them what to do.
Well, yeah, I pretty much that guy. I'm charging him three times the normal price because here he has lots of money and a lot of bad judgment to go with it.
Yeah, but you don't actually charge for consultation. Oh, no. You don't take a dime until... No. The Blitzers win.
No, that's exactly right, Fred. If somebody has a legal question or a legal problem, they come to see me or call me on the phone, we never charge for a consultation. It's always free. In fact, when someone gets hurt and they don't have any money for a doctor or they don't have insurance to pay for a medical visit, we arrange to get them to see the medical providers they need, anywhere from a chiropractor up through an orthopedic surgeon, for no money up front.
And if you have that legal question and you're coming out to Twin Peaks, Lawyer Dave's here.
You bet. I'm sitting right here in front of the radio area, and if you've got a question or a comment, come on up and say howdy.
And by the way, when I had a legal issue recently, when I got sued, I went to Lawyer Dave, and now we're in the process of getting it all taken care of.
You better dial Dave, didn't you, AJ?
I dialed Dave. That's right.
And what's that number, Fred?
713-626-8900, or you can go to Twitter at LawyerDaveLaw or LawyerDave.com. And I recommend you give him a call. 713-626-8900. Better dial Dave.
Better dial.
ESPN 97.5.